things NFL. Now here's your hosts, Root and Wine.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 59 of the Root and Why Show. We're back after our little hiatus, after the...
It's a holiday.
Holiday?
Yeah.
No, it's a holiday. Took a couple of weeks off. It's getting quiet after our Aussie Down Under.
Special? That was special. Good. Well received.
It was.
A lot of Aussie music involved. A lot of Vegemite talk. It's always good.
Yeah. sorry, no, I was just thinking what it was actually called. Cheesy Mite.
Cheesy Mite.
Do you like Cheesy Mite?
No, I'm not.
You don't?
No. Don't add cheese to something as good as Vegemite.
But do you like Tiger Toast? Do you know what Tiger Toast is?
Is that cheese Vegemite on toast?
That's Vegemite on toast, and then cheese cut into strips so you can lay it across. It looks like a tiger.
Oh my God. What the hell is
I had it when I was 5. So.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
And I love it now.
Yes. All right, we're back from our break. The next few months, we're going to start previewing the season. It's still only, you know, July, so not much is happening. Training camps are a few weeks away. But we're going to talk a lot of fantasy in the next few weeks. We're running a few MFL 10s. What's an MFL 10? It is on a website called myfantasyleague.com. They're big in America. They're starting to pick up here. So basically, they're best ball leagues and draft only. So once you've drafted your squad of 25 players, that's it. And your highest scoring players form your lineup every week. So it's standard rosters, standard scoring, $10 entry fees, winner takes all at the end of the year. Once you draft, that's it. No trades, no waivers. It's going well.
Yeah.
Yep.
How do you like your team?
I like it so far. Yeah, I'm happy with what I got at pick 11. It was a bit of a struggle, but missing out on some of that elite talent. But I'm happy with what I landed in Eddie Lacy sliding all the way to me at pick 11 and then taking Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah.
How did you start?
I started Antonio Brown and Arian Foster. So that was Arian Foster.
I like that. I like the value on Foster at that round. But yeah, we'll get more into fantasy later in the show. We're joined by Neil Dutton, who everyone remembers. And just to keep a heads up, we're going to start promoting our Top Better tournaments. We're the official partner with Top Better this year, focusing on some NFL betting tournaments. So get excited about that.
I'm pumped.
Win some cash money.
Been looking at the odds already?
I have. I tweeted a few things out about over-unders. Some really Texans. Good values. Texans.
I
under.
Know. Over 8, easily.
Oh. Says Woot shaking
however,
his head.
However, the price has dropped on that. The price has dropped on that. People are really getting on money. No. Other way.
Oh, really?
Why are people so high on them getting... I don't know.
Hoyer. Or Hoyer everything.
I think it's DeAndre Hopkins. He's just
he's
an elite talent.
Also, we sent our package off to Colleen Wolfe. Not our package, but our Australian food package. So
by the way,
hopefully
I do not
she...
condone Josh Wye's comments on
yes.
this podcast.
So we sent that off, an array of Vegemite wagon wheels shapes. Thanks to all those that sort of text through or tweeted through suggestions for what should go in the Aussie food pack.
Enjoy, Colleen.
Enjoy it, Colleen. I'm sure she's listening. We are her favourite Aussies.
Did we put Tim Tams in there?
We did.
We did.
And Vegemite.
And Vegemite.
And Vegemite. All right, before we get to NFL news, we might have a special guest next week. We're going to try and speak to an Australian journalist travelling with the Australian Outback for the IFAF World Cup that's going on. So their football is around the corner. Next Friday at 2 a.m., you're going to get up. We're playing Korea.
I'm nodding. You can't see this, people.
Yeah, we're not a video cast yet. No. And we don't have the face. Well, maybe you do, but I'm not the most attractive fellow. So we'll end it with that.
Hi, I'm Josh Root with the NFL News. No, this week...
There's a lot going on.
There's...
it's riveting.
It's riveting. We've got a lot of time to make up, really. It's been 2 weeks of news.
Yes.
But, still not much has gone on.
No, and our last news piece will show that it's a perfect summary of how much news is going on.
Yeah, hence the holiday.
Yes.
Essentially, yeah.
It was a great time to go on holidays. It's too early to preview. The pads haven't even been put on yet.
I know. Okay, ESPN Raiders reporter Bill Williamson said first round wide receiver Amari Cooper is, quote, ready to break out immediately.
Ooh, the hype train. Toot, toot. Oh, by the way, we need a sound drop for a hype train.
Yeah.
There we go, we're done.
I'm not doing that every week.
Nah.
I'll just
use that.
Yeah.
Yep.
The Cooper hype train is in speeding, full steam ahead, but it may be for good reason. Cooper has reportedly been the real deal during OTAs and was the most NFL-ready receiver in the 2015 class. Without much pass-catching talent surrounding him, 1,000 yards and 80 receptions are well within his reach.
Apparently, there. That's from Roto World, that little nugget there about what they see with Cooper. For me, like, Amari Cooper is awesome. Like, we know he's going to be awesome. But it's very easy to look good in shorts and shirts when you're a fast wide receiver. A lot of those...
And compared to the other wide receiver talent around him.
Yeah, there's not much else going on, you know, in... Michael Crabtree is still slow and still old.
Yeah.
Well, not old, but just not very good. So, you know, with Amari Cooper, it's so easy to look good when you're running around in shorts and you can't be tackled. It's so much.
If Cooper was playing for, you know, Packers, Patriots, Broncos...
Colts would be...
Oh, maybe not the Colts, because Dorsett, I still think... Are you super excited about Dorsett?
My excitement has...
Faded?
Yeah, it's plateaued.
Plateaued?
Good word, I think. Yeah. All right. I was excited for a while, and now I'm just like, oh man, so many weapons. Like, I would just like a little extra piece on defense. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah, no, but I mean, I'd be much more excited if he was on any of those teams. However, you know, top talent goes to the struggling teams.
Yes, that's right. Next bit of news, ESPN... 1500 Twin Cities suggests the Vikings have interest in safety, you know, strong safety Bernard Pollard, also known as the ACL ruiner or the Patriot curse. Every time he's tackled a Patriots tight end, there's been troubles. He was the one that shattered Gronk's knee, and then he also he was the last person to tackle Aaron Hernandez. Funny fact, don't you find that?
Wow!
And he also was the one that damaged Tom Brady's knee too.
Maybe.
So maybe the Vikings are signing them for when they play.
Do the Vikings play the Patriots this year?
Good question. I'm not sure. We'll check. But look, he has ties to Jerry Gray, the Vikings defensive back, and there is some space for him in the safety, lineup for Minnesota with Harrison Smith, who's a stud at free safety, but Robert Blanton and second year player now Anton Exum competing for the roles, so it's not the biggest names. Blanton and Exum have showed glimpses, but we just haven't seen enough to make a judgment on them. So I think Bernard Pollard he hasn't played since March last year. He was released from the Titans, but he hasn't played in a very long time because he missed most of the year with an injury. So
it's interesting with Exum
because he was a corner.
Yeah, and he showed last season that he's quite a liability. So Bernard Pollard has a definite shot if he plays the Patriots. No.
Are you loading it up?
I'm loading the 2015 regular season schedule.
Even if they play him in preseason, I would not be taking any starters.
All right, ready? They're safe.
They're lucky.
They're safe. Tight end and Brady.
Hold on, I'm checking the preseason.
No, they don't. They don't.
You sure?
Yep.
All right, they're like, they're lucky. How weird is that they play? Oh no, that's right. My bad. Anyway, move on. Darren McFadden said that he feels like a rookie all over again. He said it's great to be in Dallas when he was at football camp at Little Rock Air Base, and he says I'm looking forward to getting on the field with those guys and doing great things this year. Definitely excited. I tell everybody I feel like a rookie all over again. I just want to go out there, stay healthy, and run the ball the way I know I can run the ball. This is what story number 395,201 on the Dallas Cowboys running back situation.
Mm-hmm. It's getting murkier than ever.
Yeah,
I still like Randall.
Hmm.
But, there's reports that... Why would they bring in McFadden if they were...
Oh, okay.
There's other running backs that could do a similar...
job? Yeah. Ahmad Bradshaw, Pierre Thomas?
Mm-hmm. They could have brought in players like Ridley and things like that, but
They stuck with McFadden. I think Randall's the guy to beat at the moment, but look, I don't know with McFadden. It's so hard to judge him because he just hasn't played a full season in such a long time or even sustained consecutive stints for like a month or two. It's just been messy. But behind this offensive line, if he can do it, who knows? There's potential, but you know, these puff pieces.
I think if he was healthy, he'd be quite a decent running back. It's just...
Yeah, well, he was drafted in the top 10.
Yep, that's just...
And I feel like if he said this in August, it wouldn't be a story either. It's just June.
Yep.
Yep. All right, next bit of news, my man.
All right, this is a hot topic. In an interview with ESPN, Russell Wilson mentioned $25 million as an annual salary figure. Now, like, that's crazy in itself, but then for the agent to come out and say, I wish he said 40?
40 million, yes.
Yeah. Crazy. Sorry. Hashtag patience, hashtag relax, hashtag no deadline.
Yes, and then Russell also said, doesn't matter if I'm getting paid $25 million or $1.5 million, I'll be ready to go.
So, that's kind of contradicting.
I know, I'm over this story. I don't care how much, we didn't care how much Cam Newton got paid.
No.
I don't care how much Cam Newton gets paid. I've seen what Cam Newton can do when he doesn't have an offensive line, he doesn't have weapons, doesn't have a solid running game. We've seen what he can do. For me, with Wilson, pay him as much, pay him 45, 50 million, whatever. Like, yeah. I don't care. He's worth it. Seattle, like, the alternative is nothing.
Yeah.
Is Tavares Jackson. They've been down that road. They don't want to do it again. Russell Wilson makes this football team better. But for me, after he signs this deal and he's hamstrung his team, I want to see
hamstrung?
How he... Hamstrung? Hamstrung? Hey, I'm inventing a new word because he has, you know,
yeah,
harming his team with this deal. Every quarterback is, but they're deserving of that money. But, like, how is he going to cope without a top three defense? And when players, they're going to have to lose some players.
We're already going to see how he
copes this year.
Copes without an offensive line this year.
Yeah.
Do you think the Seahawks would be better off, say, they had Cam Newton?
Look, I don't think the difference is that much.
No.
To me, Russell Wilson and Cam Newton is like, you know, just.
I would much rather have Cam Newton than Russell Wilson.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Nah, not really. Not that bold. Yeah, for me, it doesn't matter. Like, if you put the two in the hat and I pick out one of them, I don't really care. I just think the Russell Wilson, Andrew Luck debate is over.
I don't think it was really started.
No. Nah. Well, it was by some people. It's crazy. If you listen to Move the Sticks this week, they had Bill Smith on, who's a statistician that works with Daniel Jeremiah, and he went through quarterbacks on third down. And Russell Wilson's stats on third down, the money down, is not worth the money, really. Like, he wasn't that good. Andrew Luck was top five up there with Aaron Rodgers and
Teddy Bridgewater. Tony Romo was top highest, wasn't he?
Well, over the sample size was less, so they didn't mention Teddy, but Luck. It was like Luck, Peyton, Rodgers, and even Brady was like 10th,
really,
on third downs, which Daniel Jeremiah was shocked at. It's that's riveting. Shocked,
but it also shows that these teams get first and second down.
Yeah, exactly. It's hard, but still on the money down, and he's a running quarterback too, so even the running stats weren't. The number one running converter on third down was Cam Newton.
There you go.
Even better than Marshawn Lynch, which is crazy. All right, the last bit of news is, as I said, it sort of sums up. It's a perfect June story and summarizes our news. Wonderful. Retired quarterback Brett Favre believes he could still play in the NFL every offseason. Will he or won't he? He's back again. And as RotoWorld says, this is our first Brett Favre. He still believes he could play in the NFL post since September 2013, after probably ones in 2011,
2012, 2010. Would you have him join? The Bills.
It's just a serial, man. It could be an upgrade, like 53-year-old Brett Favre. By the way, the quarterback for the USA team in the IFAAF Cup is a guy whose surname's Favre.
Really?
Which I find just...
That's like, great.
That's awesome. But yeah, he's 45. He has no plans to restart his career. Oh, thank God.
Like, why come out, make such a statement, and then be like, I'm not going to play though.
It's June, that's why. It's so funny. It's so funny.
At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought.
Who was interviewing Favre?
No idea. Probably himself. Not a New York Jets beat reporter who no longer speaks to him.
You gotta get out of here. This is crazy. You're so weird.
No. You're really weird.
You're so weird.
Our weird web story. Isn't this weird, but I put it in the weird web story so he dedicated some more time to it because I know Woot's gonna fire up. But Steve Weatherford Steve Weatherford.
Weatherford.
Did I stutter?
During an interview with WFAN in New York, the biggest sports radio station in New York outside of the major networks, said that he compared Bradford to a Ferrari that doesn't always start. He likened Mark Sanchez to a Cadillac sedan, which I find a little bit racist. Just a little bit. explaining it's not the fastest, but you know what you're going to get out of it. And he added that Tebow is the type of daughter you want dating your daughter, not leading your team. Fair call for the Tebow one anyway. He said, I think that's a pretty accurate, you know, summary of Bradford. He said, Bradford is incredibly talented. But he has some history of injuries, so that's an analogy saying the guy is unbelievable and he has a history of injuries, so there might come a time when he won't start up because he has an injury. Anyway, and then he said, with Mark Sanchez, I'm saying he's a solid rock. Who doesn't want to drive a Cadillac? I'm saying the guy is a rock solid. You know exactly what you're going to get out of him. Then, your boy, Jason Kelce, what did he say, Woot, in retaliation to punter Steve Weatherford? Statement.
Punter Steve Weatherford.
Yeah.
Let's just start by saying we know they're people.
Yes.
Punters are people.
We are
too.
Advocates of punters.
Jason Kelce, center for the Philadelphia Eagles, comes out and says, of course a player who is literally not allowed to touch... let's start again. Of course a player who is literally not allowed to be touched is talking... is interviewing punters a thing now.
And then he also at Weatherford 5.
Yes. So he made sure Weatherford...
Fire up!
...heard this. Or read this, sorry.
Fire
up! I look around and I think we got a spazzy team.
Spicy. Spicy.
And
then Steve Weatherford said, I've got a lot of respect for the Eagles. I think the media is really painting the picture. People are reading the headlines and adopting that as their opinion instead of really reading the article. Well...
Okay.
You're on a media show.
You can't...
Like, what?
He kind of made his point quite clear.
Yeah.
There wasn't too much reading between the lines needed.
No.
Yeah. He says, it's an instantaneous world where people are on Twitter and all they do is see the headline.
Yeah. Well, no.
No?
No. You need to read an article. You need to analyze an article.
Mm-hmm.
Take away what's being really said. This is crazy. What's Steve Weatherford talking? Why is he...
He's a... punters are people too, but he needs to...
Yes. Some of the comments on this story were hilarious. Someone was like, well, he's the second best player at the Giants. Right. And you're clearly Eagles fans. So are you hoping Steve Weatherford gets weather hit this year?
Weather hit?
Yeah.
Let's just say you better punt it out of bounds.
Oh, bring him back, Bosher. Remember that. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's it for the Weird Web story this week. Before we get Neil Dutton on the line, anything to add?
No, I'm keen for fantasy. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
It's showtime.
All right, joining us on the line is Neil Dutton. He's the man behind the Stuff You, It's a Josh Huff Day, and rhymes with anchor quotes from our last show. He's also the main man at UK End Zone Fantasy. He's an Eagles correspondent for Fantasy Pros. We all love Fantasy Pros. And a contributor to Gridiron Experts. He's also going to be a very unhappy English cricket fan over the next few weeks. Welcome, Neil Dutton.
I should point out, in the interest of full disclosure, I'm most of the time, I'm an unhappy England supporter.
Yeah, that's fine. How are you today after the Women's World Cup?
Oh, you know, it was very hard to get up in the morning, especially... I didn't even know the game was on.
All right, that's...
The whole tournament seems to have passed me by somewhat.
Okay, that's fair. Well, you're working hard on with Fantasy Pros and...
So patriotic.
And UK ends up... Yes, especially about football. I expected the Englishman to be fired up about the Women's World Cup. But anyway,
I'm a Sheffield Wednesday fan. Football fails to excite me these days.
Only on Wednesdays. Is that bad joke? Yeah, sorry.
Shocking.
All right, so what we did this week is we sent out a tweet and we asked people to tweet us back with a player that they're interested in this year, whether it's interested in drafting or putting on their love list or maybe, you know, ruling them out as someone that they don't want to target. So we've got a list of 10 names that we're going to smash through, and Neil's going to give us some analysis, and Woot and I will chime in as well. We'll start with someone we talked about, I think, last time you were on, Neil, and that's Latavius Murray.
Latavius Murray is one of those... The talent is obviously there, and the opportunity should be there, considering that his only real competition for carries is Trent Richardson, who you may as well play with 10 men, let's be honest.
And Roy Helu.
Actually, I mean, I wrote one of my articles for UK Endzone recently. I did about fantasy bargains, and the one I did for Oakland was Roy Helu. I've got a lot of time for him. I think, especially as a pass catcher, he could have a decent season for Oakland. But I just have an awful lot of time having any faith in Oakland because, you know, they've been burning us for the best part of 15 years now. So even if Murray has got the talent, he's currently going in like the fourth round, and he's going ahead of like running backs like Jonathan Stewart and Andre Ellington or even TJ Yeldon. And at first glance, I'd much rather have those three than Latavius Murray just because I have so little faith in Oakland.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, well, his ADP at the moment is 20th overall amongst running backs, and that's the consensus from Yahoo, ESPN, and Fantasy Football Calculator. His highest is at number 18 on Fantasy Football Calculator, and his overall ADP is at 46. So you're right, in the fourth round, he is going, and before some of those names, that's just a little bit too early for me.
Yeah, I never like to have running backs on my team that are on a losing team. I just find that they're down too often in games, and if they don't get the run game going early, then it just becomes a throwing fest.
And that's where Neil mentioned Roy Helu sparks a few interest, because he might
steal a lot of those catches.
Because we don't know, you know, how well Latavius Murray can catch the ball. We've seen how well he ran.
Yeah.
Especially that Kansas City game comes to mind where he just destroyed that, you know, what was considered an elite defense, for hundreds of yards. But yeah, I think you're right. It's when they're not running the ball as much and they're behind in games, they're gonna be a struggle.
Yeah. Also, the fact that they've gotten Amari Cooper and last season Derek Carr didn't have that many people to throw to, I feel like they're gonna really test out what they have with Derek Carr. The fact that now that they have Amari Cooper, they're gonna, you know, see what they can make happen with those two. But saying that, Bill Musgrave is the coordinator there.
Mm.
So, and he's had success with AP and Michael Turner and things like that.
Yep.
So,
see how we go.
Yeah. It's a nice young team, though.
The plus of having Musgrave as your offensive coordinator, as you say, Adrian Peterson, he was his offensive coordinator when he had his 2,000-yard season. And last year, he was the quarterback coach in Philadelphia. So Nick Foles can, you know, reason he's in St. Louis may well be because of Bill Musgrave.
It's interesting. All right, we'll move on to the next player, another running back that's sort of around that same type of value as Murray, and that's CJ Spiller. I'll say this about CJ Spiller before I let you boys talk about him. I think the hype, CJ Spiller's a good running back, but I think the hype of CJ Spiller, you know, supersedes CJ Spiller the player. He seems to be hyped up every single year, and I can't take it. His value is skyrocketing, and I can't take him at, you know, running back 26 in a draft. I just can't do it. You guys might be able to convince me otherwise.
No, it is true. It seems like every year whenever they talk about, you know, generic off season headlines, it's always, you know, CJ Spiller gonna get the ball more, going to be used more as a runner, never look better, you know, best-dressed man in New Orleans, whatever the headline is. Everything he does in the quiet time seems to be overhyped, but when actually the live bullets are getting fired, aside from one season, he's never actually done it. And, you know, the season after he did it, an awful lot of fantasy owners I know, I'm trying to be polite, despise him because what he did to their team. It's a nice situation on paper because it seems to be, all indications are that while New Orleans are going to run the ball more, Spiller is probably going to be used more in space. So he's going to be more of a receiving option. He'll probably get, you know, there's a very good chance he may score more touchdowns than Mark Ingram. But in terms of actual, you know, running back work, Ingram's going to be the workhorse. So again, he's going a little bit high for me.
Yeah, my view on CJ Spiller at the moment is pretty... I have him ranked 25, so that's pretty...
on par.
Pretty on par. I feel like the way that they seem to be moulding things in New Orleans is that they're trying to go very run-heavy. And now that CJ Spiller's there, I feel that he will take some of the passing downs away from Ingram. I think
Ingram's a decent catcher, but Spiller is great in space.
Yeah, Spiller is great in space, and I just feel that, you know, by the end of the season, like I kind of always fall into the Spiller trap. I've never drafted him before until last season, and before he got hurt, everyone was like, this hype can't last, this hype can't last, and, you know, it didn't. He got hurt, and that was it. But, I mean, I feel that he'll get more touches than Ingram by the end of the season.
Look, it wouldn't shock me if Spiller ends up with the second most targets or catches in New Orleans, with the way they want to, you know, move the ball. Look, Drew Brees isn't the most accurate deep thrower anymore. I guess that's probably why they offloaded Jimmy Graham. Part of that reason. Also part of the reason is Drew Brees just wouldn't take a pay cut, just lays on his big pile of cash and they trust him. You know, but I'll put that personal view aside.
And Colston's still there.
Colston, I can't believe that. And Jari Evans, when we had Shane on talking about the cap, they were the two that we thought would be gone for sure. But yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if he has a lot of cap. I just can't. Yeah, I've been burned by Spiller and it just haunts me. And you shouldn't draft with your heart, but it's tough when you're a scorned lover. You know, you don't want your ex-girlfriend to improve. You know, you want to be the one that's parading around and has a, you know, Saturday Night Fever John Travolta strut in your step.
You already have one of those.
Yeah, well, there we go. Thanks, mate.
It does seem, just on the topic, that Jimmy Graham, his leaving of New Orleans has gone from mega shock to Drew Brees being outraged to them just quietly putting out stories that he wasn't actually a very good teammate and he tried to sabotage the team or whatnot. They're just, you know, it's the way that cycle's come round says an awful lot about the NFL as well.
That's interesting. And when you look at Spiller as well, like some of the players that are going after him, I actually prefer, look, I'd rather take a punt on Joseph Randall behind that offensive line. I like LeGarrette Blount this year, and Rashad Jennings I think's been undervalued still. People forget how good he was early on in the season before he got injured. So I don't know. I'd prefer to take a punt on one of those guys. But look, wouldn't shock me if Spiller, you know, catches 50 to 60 passes this year at least. It could be even more than that. So we'll move on to the next player on that list, and he's a guy that Bruce Arians talked up this time last year, and the hype was real. John Brown finished the season with 48 catches for 696 yards and 5 touchdowns. Including a 75-yarder, which was an absolute bomb. He's going as the 51st wide receiver off the board and 150th overall in drafts. Thoughts on Mr. Brown, Mr. Dutton?
It's quite weird. I mean, there's three wide receivers really in Arizona. There's Larry Fitzgerald, who, you know, we may have heard of, and it has been said once or twice, hasn't had 1,000 yards, I think, in 4 seasons. There's, when it comes to people like Spiller, who've burnt their owners, there's Michael Floyd, who ruined 4 of my teams last year. and then there's John Brown. I mean, Floyd and Fitzgerald are going pretty close to each other in drafts. I think they're wide receiver 34 and 36. And then, as you say, at wide receiver 51 is John Brown. Now, the way I look at it, I can't tell you who the main wide receiver is in Arizona, because you've got Fitzgerald with his, let's be honest, declining skill set. Still great hands, he'll catch anything, but he's not getting the workload. Floyd had one great season and one pretty ordinary one. And there's Brown, who Arians has gone out of his way every opportunity to talk up. And we know that Bruce Arians generally is a man of his word. He is quite honest. So I think for where you can get John Brown compared to where Fitzgerald and Floyd are going, he's not a bad pad punt at wide receiver 3 who may touch wide receiver 2 production, because, as I say, it's a little bit of a mess in Arizona from a fantasy point of view.
Yeah, no, I was just looking at my rankings then. I'm quite high on all the Arizona wide receivers. I've got Fitzgerald and Floyd smack bang next to each other at 31 and 32. And then you're saying that the ADP is 51?
Yep.
Yeah, and I've got him at 42.
Yeah, so I think I have him at, you know, around in the 40s. I think I don't mind taking him at that point. And look, it wouldn't surprise me if Brown beats all of those three, leads them all in points, fantasy points and yards, but it wouldn't shock me if he finishes third. I think there's a reason to be high on the Cardinals receivers, because Carson Palmer's back in that vertical passing game with Arians works so well. People forget Palmer has been 13-2.
And
record as a
It's incredible.
Last 15 games.
He's not typically a quarterback that risks getting hurt. I mean, we know he got hurt, but that was...
Yeah, you mean he's not a running quarterback.
Yeah, he wouldn't... He doesn't... He'll get rid of the ball. He won't put himself in harm's way necessarily. And he came out and completely supported John Brown and said, you know, he's hopefully... You know, he'll show exactly why.
Yeah.
There's all this hype around him. So
I watched tape on John Brown last week because, you know, I like Bruce Arians and hearing him talk about him again. Man, do you know what, like... You can quote this and hyperbole whatever you want. Man, I see Marvin Harrison so much.
Hyperbole.
Yes.
Hyperbole?
Hyperbole. Whatever. Yeah, I see Marvin Harrison so much in John Brown from when I used to watch Marvin play with Peyton Manning. It's crazy. Yeah, 51's nuts. It's way too low. I think he's going a lot higher recently. I expect that. Look, he's going 42 overall in fantasy football calculators.
Would you rather John Brown or Colston?
John Brown.
There you go. See, Colston's 39, John Brown's 42.
Okay. What about you, Mr. Dutton? John Brown or Colston?
I think there's more upside to taking John Brown. I think Colston, we know what we're going to get at this stage. You know, he's probably good in PPR. He's going to get a lot over the middle. But in terms of, you know, pure speed and maybe a lot more touchdowns, John Brown would be my pick. It is interesting, though, that, you know, Bruce Arians has this reputation as, you know, a gunslinger, an offensive coordinator, you know, wants to bomb. His quarterbacks haven't usually scored that high in fantasy football, if you actually look. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger's had his best years in fantasy under Todd Haley. Mm. And Andrew Luck only threw 23 touchdowns when Arians was his offensive coordinator. So it is interesting that he has this reputation, but it doesn't really translate at fantasy level as much as you'd think it would.
Yeah, I look at that and I see the point, but I think Luck was a rookie that year, and I think when you look at Pittsburgh's team now compared to when Arians was there was a lot better defense.
It was the steel curtain.
Yeah, I think in these games their defense is not. I think they've relied on Big Ben a lot, but I think you're onto something that it might be a little bit of an over exaggeration, but I completely see your point. All right, we'll move on to another wide receiver, another second-year sophomore wide receiver, Jarvis Landry, finished the year with 84 catches, just one of the quietest 84, you know, reception seasons for a while. Only sort of came on late and finished with 5 touchdowns as well, same as John Brown. Thoughts on Mr. Landry, Neil? He's going 29th overall in the wide receiver rankings.
I think in terms, it's good that they've completely revamped their receiving core in Miami, where the only real constant is Jarvis Landry. So he's got the chemistry already with Tannehill. If we're expecting Ryan Tannehill to continue his upward trend of every season he gets better, that should do serve Landry in good stead, that he's already, you know, at the ground floor with this fella and all the other people are learning it. I mean, he's going behind like wide receivers like Vincent Jackson and Jeremy Maclin. Now, Maclin was exceptional last year, as we know, but I don't know if you've noticed, if anyone again has said this, Kansas City didn't have any wide receiver touchdowns last year. I heard that once or twice. Vincent Jackson's going to be taking a secondary role more than he did last year to Mike Evans. The problem is Landry is exclusively a slot receiver, so you do have to temper your expectations with where you draft him. I mean, ideally, you'd take, if you have like 3 wide receivers, you'd want your home run hitter, you want a steady PPR guy, and you'd probably want someone who plays in the slot again to supplement the PPR, get a few catches. So it's hard to see, especially with the other pieces in this offense, how high he can go. But certainly from where he's going, the say 7th round, it's not a bad spot. Might be a little bit too high for me, but compared to some of the players who are going ahead of him, I don't think he's a bad shout there.
I have him ranked probably about 5 spots below where he's being currently drafted. I'm still a bit iffy. Jordan Cameron's come in.
I think he'll steal a lot of red zone
work. I really do. And also, Kenny Stills is he's going to be a deep threat, but he's also kind of a similar kind of, you know, he doesn't have that big frame or anything. He's still diminutive in stature and that kind of thing.
He's sort of like Jarvis Landry 1¼. You know, like just a little bit extra, has that extra bit in his
game. So I mean, I'm a little bit up in the air about it. I mean, they've improved their offensive line, so that's gonna, you know, they might put more emphasis on the run game. I know Bill Lazor, you know, taking all the elements he can from Philadelphia, and you know, Philadelphia are a run heavy team. I just see that, you know, it you know, I could be completely wrong and Landry could blow up and be, you know, a new wide receiver one, but it's just...
I can't see it. And I find it bizarre that the gap between Landry and John Brown is so much when John Brown is... There've been no additions to Arizona's wide receiver core. You're getting your quarterback back. You've added Jordan Cameron, Kenny Stills, and they've drafted Devontae Parker. Parker and Cameron going to steal red zone works. I can't see Landry having 5 touchdowns again. Landry's a great football player. I just don't think he's going to be a supreme fantasy player. I think if you had points for third down conversions, I think Landry would be a megastar because he's if you need someone to get 7 yards on, you know, on a slant, Landry's your guy. But yeah, I think he's a bit too high for my liking. I prefer him probably in the late 30s around that John Brown arc.
I mean, they have added an awful lot on offense. There is, with a hint of Schadenfreude, I will say that maybe they're the 2015 version of the Dream Team, which if, you know, if it means they're going to crash and burn, well, you know, there's always casualties.
Yep.
Yeah. Saying all this, though, if you're in a PPR format, Landry's gold.
Yeah. We're talking standard here at the moment. Yeah.
We didn't clarify that.
We mostly play standard, but yeah, PPR, you know, Neil mentioned it, but PPR, yeah. He could get 100 catches this year, but whether that converts to touchdowns is a totally different thing. All right, we'll move on to another second-year wide receiver, and that is Devontae Adams playing in what could be the best offense maybe of all time. Could they beat the Broncos offense again this not again, but could they beat the Broncos offense from 2 seasons ago? Who knows? Doubt. He's currently going 46 overall. Quite a big disparity in terms of Yahoo. He's going 63rd overall in the wide receiver rankings at ADP and 38 overall in fantasy football calculator. So there's a bit of a...
discrepancy.
Yeah, really big discrepancy. And he's going 126 overall amongst all players in mock drafts at the moment. Wow. Neil?
If Ted Thompson can do one thing well, and let's be honest, he can probably do an awful lot of things well, he can pick wide receivers. I mean, because you look at the wide receivers they've drafted while he's been in Green Bay, who've been good in Green Bay. I mean, the qualifier is when they go elsewhere, they tend not to do as well. Devontae Adams is like the next man off the assembly line, as it were. His value for me is going to drop because they kept Randall Cobb. So, I mean, this Jordy Nelson, assuming he's going to be fit, he's obviously had hip surgery, I think, this off-season. He's going to get his targets. Randall Cobb's going to get his. I'm quite high on Richard Rodgers at tight end. They've still got Eddie Lacy. Again, there's an awful lot of miles to feed. And if it goes like it was last year, they were in an awful lot of blowouts and basically called off the dogs in the second half. So it's hard to say that even if someone comes in to get mop-up work, how much they're going to do. So he's going one spot in wide receiver terms ahead of another Devontae, Mr. Parker from Miami. And again, it's hard for me to get on board with either of them, especially just this season. I'm not saying that they're going to flame out forever, but I just don't think it's this year for Devontae Adams.
A big Devontae no from Neil.
Wow. I don't feel he'll go too badly. I'm still quite, I do like a lot of his upside. When you think back, you think of James Jones, and that wasn't that long ago that he was producing
it. Wasn't last year, but was it the year before? Even 2 seasons?
I mean, but
3 seasons ago.
At that age, and he was still producing at a high level.
That's the third wide receiver.
Yeah, exactly. And he was, I feel like I was being burned in, you know, a different league every week by someone who had James Jones who would snatch 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
they really haven't had, Green Bay don't really utilize their tight end either. Ever since Jermichael Finley left, I feel like some games they have that one where they throw 3 passes to a tight end like Qualis or something, but it doesn't seem to, you know, that doesn't happen very often. And I don't know. It's still the hip thing with Nelson scares me a little bit, but I still think Nelson's not the kind of player that, I don't know. I don't think he'll.
He's pretty durable.
Yeah,
he has been his whole life, but I think Adams' upside is if he does slide in a draft where a lot of people feel the same way, is if you can store him on your bench and if something happened to Randall Cobb or Jordy Nelson, his value is instantly a wide receiver 2, possibly low tier wide receiver 1. So I think you're taking, it sounds bad, but you're taking Devontae Adams on the hope someone misses time, and that sounds horrible, and we don't wish that on anyone, but that's where his, you know, boom value is.
Exactly, and I don't think there's really another team besides possibly the Colts that if one of their two main wide receivers goes down, the next one in line would just, you know, slot in so seamlessly.
And you can be so comfortable playing them every week.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah, if you want to, especially if you have a deeper bench.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not too bad. And, you know, he went late in an NFL 10 for us, and Laurie was happy with the upside. Because mm-hmm. if something goes on, there's your points every week. All right, we'll move on to tight end. We mentioned him earlier, Jordan Cameron. We just said there that we think he may steal some red zone work from Jarvis Landry. Not that Jarvis Landry was getting much, but he had a couple of red zone touchdowns. It's hard to view Cameron because last season was garbage, but the year before he was a red zone monster. He's going ninth amongst all tight ends, you know, in ADP right now, and he's 90th, so you can get him in the, you know, the eighth or ninth round in 10 or 12 team leagues. What's your thoughts on Jordan Cameron, you know, as the ninth overall tight end, Neil?
I think where he fits in is, if we assume that all things are good and right in the world, which is obviously a very difficult thing to do, especially the people who come from Cleveland, if we look, you know, at his talent level, where he is now is a nice spot. I mean, he's like jammed between Zach Ertz, who's, you know, going to spend his entire career on the verge of a breakout. And then there's Owen Daniels, who's, you know, I think he must have pictures of Gary Kubiak because he follows him everywhere. Jordan Cameron would say it's a red zone threat. The other year when he was, you know, one of the best tight ends in football, he did this getting thrown to by Brian Hoyer, Brandon Weeden and Jason Campbell. So, you know, he's shown he can put it up with less than stellar quarterback play. The downside is, it's as we said before, there's always an embarrassment of riches in terms of the offense in Miami now. So he's going to be a red zone threat. Kenny Stills going to be a red zone threat. Landry can get theirs. They've got the two running backs. Tannehill himself can run it in. It's, for where he's going, pretty much, it's, if you don't draft Rob Gronkowski, stream. That seems to be the tight end strategy. So where he's getting picked up, it's not a bad spot. I mean, you can get 20 picks later, you can get Dwayne Allen, and that's another guy who started the seats before the, you know, free agency. Dwayne Allen, you know, he's very touchdown dependent, but he gets a lot of touchdowns. And then they go and draft, you know, another wide receiver, and it looks like if Dwayne Allen's on the field, he's going to be there to block. So he's one, again, his value is affected by how many more miles to feed there are on that offense, and he's going 20 picks after Jordan Cameron. He could be a steal, but it's whether he can stay healthy and how much Tannehill shares the wealth in Miami.
Yeah, he could be a complete boom candidate, but there's also that risk there that he just might be just another pawn.
Just another pawn for the Devante Parker Prince. You know, talking chess here. How about the chess hot takes? Ow! Seven touchdowns in 2013, as you said, with Brian Hoyer, Brandon Weeden, and Jason Campbell. Caught 80 passes too. So Tannehill's better than, you know, those three quarterbacks combined. You know, the upside is there, where like double digit touchdowns would not surprise me for Jordan Cameron, but you know, a concussion and out for 8 weeks wouldn't surprise me either. So it's tough, but you know, a lot of Cleveland fans will tell you when a player leaves Cleveland, they turn to gold. So maybe you know, it could be fantasy gold for you this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows? All right, we'll move on to...
I mean, it worked with Trent Richardson.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate that. Teddy Bridgewater is the next player on our list. Thoughts on the really exciting, you know, not fantasy-wise, but just talking pure football, I think the best quarterback from his draft class... high upside guy. If you haven't listened to Hard Count on Fox Sports yet, the new Hard Count, they spoke to David Yankee. He was glowing about how good Teddy Bridgewater is, how much of a smart guy he is. I'm really looking forward to, just in a football sense, watching Teddy Bridgewater play this year. Team of the podcast is the Vikings. Thoughts on him from a fantasy perspective, Neil?
I have major issues with anyone who's doing mock drafts on Yahoo at the moment.
Yeah, their numbers are really affecting the ADP.
I mean, these are quarterbacks who are being taken before Teddy Bridgewater. Andy Dalton, Joe Flacco, David Carr, Nick Foles,
David Carr?
Yeah. Derek Carr. Sorry, I was getting mixed up.
Wow, they're really bad.
They're really bad at Yahoo.
and Alex Smith.
Oh, God.
They're getting drafted before Teddy Bridgewater. Now, I'm not jumping on the hype train and saying Bridgewater's the best quarterback they've had since Dante Culpepper, excusing Brett Favre, but he is. He's not going to be a quarterback, you know, a top-tier quarterback, because I think this is still a team that if they have any sense, they're going to go through Adrian Peterson. They're going to get as much out of him as they can. But they've got some nice weapons around him, you know, will be affected because teams are going to have to focus on Peterson. Got the boy Charles Johnson, who I think we're going to talk about later.
Yeah.
Mike Wallace is always a touchdown threat, if very little else. He's certainly not, you know, certainly probably not the best teammate. If Rudolph the Red Zone Reindeer can stay fit, then, you know, he's shown what he can
Rudolph
do.
Rudolph the Red Zone Reindeer, love it. Keep going.
The Red Zone Reindeer.
Yeah, keep going, Neil. That's nice.
They're a very exciting team, but, you know, if people think they'd rather have Alex Smith throwing his 6-yard dump offs to Jamal Charles ahead of him, then please come and draft in my league.
Yes.
Well, I mean, the Vikings are our team of the podcast
they
this
are,
season,
we are
so we're completely on the Vikings hype train.
Yeah, we love it. We love Teddy. How's he on your rankings, Mr. Woot?
Well, I can gladly say I don't have Flacco, Dalton, or anyone in front of him. I have him 14. I have him right behind Tannehill, Brady, and Rivers. So, I mean, I feel that's a pretty adequate spot for him.
Yeah, and it depends on how much Adrian Peterson's workload is. If we're getting 2012, you know, Adrian Peterson, where he rushed for, you know, the crazy amount, nearly broke the record, you know, there's going to be a cap or a ceiling on Bridgewater's value. But then you can also look at it twofold, that, you know, Peterson's going to convert third downs and give some opportunities for Teddy to throw some passes in the end zone, and there's always going to be a chance that they have a touchdown scoring drive. So, and we know Teddy can also run it in too. So he's also with AP there. It's maybe they could run a little bit of a read option in the red zone. We may see it. I like Teddy Bridgewater. I might take Joe Flacco over Teddy, but I wouldn't take any of the others. I think Flacco.
I've got Flacco at 19.
Yeah, I think Flacco's a bit undervalued.
Honestly,
if you're streaming quarterbacks, if you miss out on top quarterback in a draft and I'm taking like someone like Matt Stafford, I'd be taking Joe Flacco as well, just to sort of, you know, decide between the two of them each week.
Teddy Bridgewater, though, is a prime example that you can easily, why you should wait on a quarterback.
Yeah.
Unless, you know, you're sitting in the fourth round and everyone has the same idea and no one's drafted Luck or Rogers.
Yeah. Then,
you wait.
Yeah, I like Teddy this year. I think you're right. I think 15th's probably, you know, top 15 quarterbacks about right. And I think, yeah, as if you're streaming quarterbacks, he's a really good option week to week. Anything else on Mr. Bridgewater, Neil?
Not so much Bridgewater, but you just mentioned Flacco.
Yeah.
If you look at the quarterback in the first year that Mark Trestman is on a team, their quarterback numbers are very, very, very good. Second year, they do drop off a tad, as we saw with Jay Cutler. But you look over the course of his career, that first year, he gets an awful lot of production out of his quarterback. So Flacco had a good year last year with Kubiak. There's a good chance, say, he could be a steal as well, especially where he's going. But it is Joe Flacco, and, you know, he doesn't do exciting.
He doesn't do exciting things until January.
Yeah.
But look, he had 550. Flacco had 554 attempts last year. That was with a Kubiak, run heavy team, you know, offense. I can see him, you know, attempting maybe 50 extra passes this season with the changes they've made. I just think he's heavily undervalued. But, you know, if it comes to Bridgewater or Flacco, it's as long as you're not taking Dalton or Alex Smith, I think you're better off with Flacco or Bridgewater. Just to, you know, depends on personal preference. You mentioned Charles Johnson before. We should just go straight into him, and then we'll come to Matt Ryan when we're talking about the Vikings, Neil.
An article I wrote for Gridiron Experts recently, I was looking at Charles Johnson, and he's basically spent the whole off-season playing at the X in North Turner's offense. Now, historically, that X receiver in North Turner's offense basically overshadows completely the other wide receiver. So if he's going to play the X, there's a good chance that he's probably going to get close to 1,000 yards, 5 or 6 touchdowns, whereas the second guy will probably get about 500 to 600 yards. So if we assume that Mike Wallace is the other guy, there's a good chance that Wallace may score more touchdowns, because I say that's what he brings. But in terms of the, you know, every down, every week, Mr. Reliable, there's a good chance that's going to be Charles Johnson. So he's another one, wide receiver three, but if he can just get into the end zone a few more times, he only went twice last year, he could push wide receiver two numbers, and he's going, I think, in the ninth round. So I like Charles Johnson. I horribly, horribly hope that he's not going to be this year's Michael Floyd, because all I've done is talk him up, and that's all I did about Floyd last year.
You're going to get egg on your face otherwise. I agree with you about Mike Wallace. And I look, Charles Johnson has a far better route tree, can run a lot more routes, but in terms of standard, you know, fantasy leagues, Mike Wallace is going to score a lot of touchdowns, and that's why I've taken him a lot in best ball leagues, because I think he can have, you know, not a consistent week to week, but he can explode with a 70 or 80 yard touchdown at the drop of a hat, and especially with, you know, Peterson there, they're stacking the box. But I think Charles Johnson, you know, in a standard format's probably your better option, because week to week, you know, he's going to get sort of 8, 7 or 8, you know, maybe 10 targets each week.
Would you be surprised if Mike Wallace came out on top?
With more fantasy points?
Yeah.
Yeah, but then I think when you look at it, he might have more games with less than 5 fantasy points.
Yeah.
Whereas he might have a few games that are 28 fantasy points.
See, last year, I was overly high on Wallace, and I felt like I was kind of rewarded a little bit, because in a lot of leagues, people, you know, shied away from him because he had a couple of a bad season or two. But this year, going to Minnesota, I don't know about Wallace either. It's just...
Yeah, well, you look at his stats from last year. Wallace didn't have that bad of a season.
No, he had a good year. It's
he had
just
10 touchdowns and 862 yards.
I think everyone still just feels that he doesn't...
Yeah.
He's not the value of his contract, and everyone just...
But from fantasy-wise, if he can score double-digit touchdowns, I'm happy to do it. And when I'm drafting, if someone takes Charles Johnson, I'll take Mike Wallace.
Yeah.
Like, I'm happy to... Whoever's the last one remaining, because, you know, ADP in drafts, some take Charles Johnson around ahead before Mike Wallace, or the other way around. So I'm happy to take the leftovers of the other two. As long as I don't have Cordarrelle Patterson, I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
Wallace could be similar to what DeSean Jackson was like last year. You know, that when he was big, fantasy-wise, it was a big week. Mm. But all the other weeks, it was absolutely nothing.
Yeah, exactly. And it depends what type of player you are. If you can handle the down weeks and accept the good weeks, then that's fine. But if you want consistent performers at, you know, at your flex position from someone like Charles Johnson, then you may get you, you know, at least 8 points, and then you get your touchdown from every now and then, and you get your 17 points, then, you know, take it.
Yep.
All right, we'll move on to Matt Ryan, one of my favourite players in the NFL.
Matty Ice.
I love Matty Ice, or the Mattrel, as some call him. Thoughts on him heading into the season, Neil?
I like Matt Ryan. He basically won me a championship last year, because I, especially on a crucial week, I had him and Julio Jones when they played against Green Bay. So that went very well. He's another one. He's going in now into an offense that should suit him and Julio Jones. He's always consistent. He's never going to be a superstar. And, you know, as we saw, you watched Hard Knocks last year. He's another one like Flacco. You know, he's one of the successful recipients of the personality bypass operation. God, he's dull. but it's a good offense. He's going to put up consistent numbers. I say he's going sixth round. The only thing I will say is if you're prepared to wait another 3 rounds, you can get Eli Manning, who I'm very high on this year, but he's another one, you know, you can never tell if he's excited, angry, you know, depressed. He's just got the same look on his face as well. But he's got Odell Beckham this year. That offense should put up a lot of points. But if Matt Ryan was there 6th, 7th round, I'd probably take him. I mean, I've seen an awful lot of draft simulations I've done on Fantasy Pros. Cam Newton goes ahead of Matt Ryan, and if I had the choice, I would take Ryan, especially from a resilient standpoint. Cam Newton has started to miss a few games, so while he's still going to be a good, you know, especially because he runs around, Cam's still a good fantasy option. I think in terms of week in, week out, I'd rather have Matt Ryan.
I was with you with Eli over Matt Ryan. I have Eli at 9, Matt Ryan at 10, but I have Cam Newton down at 7. I'm just...
You're bullish on him.
I am bullish on
Eli this year. I like Eli too.
Yeah, but Matt Ryan, I feel like I'm, I don't know. I'm a bit up and down with Matt Ryan. I feel like he could have a really good year. However, then I feel Kyle Shanahan coming in, zone block scheme. I just
think more run.
Yeah, I just
see. I think Kyle Shanahan's just gonna like him and Julio, like Matt Ryan and Julio. I just think like look what he got out of Brian Hoyer and like Josh Gordon. Do you know what I mean? Like I just Julio Jones is better. Matt Ryan is infinitely better. I don't know. I'm excited about Ryan, but. I agree with Neil. If you want a dull quarterback, I'd prefer Eli Manning 3 rounds later, though.
Yeah. But see, like, I have Eli higher, but I know he's going later.
Yes.
So.
Well, it just comes down to your personal preference and your rankings. Yeah. But, you know, you're right. And let's not speak too much about Matt Ryan, because we may give him some personality. We'll move on to our last player before we wrap it up. We're heading into the hour mark, so we'll be quick with Mr. Kelvin Benjamin. Start us off, Neil.
Benjamin, the thing in his favour he has is that he's the number one receiver on an offense that probably is still going to want to run the ball. He's got a year in the offense with Cam Newton. He scored quite a few touchdowns last year. Does have an annoying tendency to put the ball on the ground as well. And I think where he's going at the moment, he's going ahead of the likes of... I mean, DeAndre Hopkins is probably more talented, but he's got Brian Hoyer or Ryan Mallett throwing him the ball. I'm good for that, thank you. Andre Johnson, who should have, you know, the year to end, you know, the year he's been waiting for, he's going quite a few picks later. I quite like Benjamin, I must be honest, but where he's going at the moment, I think he's basically, if you're drafting him here, you're expecting him to put up wide receiver 2 numbers, and I think if you take his touchdowns away, there's a good chance he's not going to get close to that.
He's going at wide receiver 14 at the moment. A lot of his points and touchdowns I found were in garbage time. And I don't know if the Panthers are going to have as many garbage time opportunities this year. Looking through their schedule, and I'm working on very early predictions, which I'll change post, you know, Brady's suspension and training camp injuries and things like that. But I think the Panthers are in for some good games this year, some really, you know, some easy victories as well. I don't know if he'll get as many. I don't like him. I think he's going too high for me. I'm not a huge Kelvin Benjamin fan. I prefer DeAndre Hopkins, who I think may lead the league in targets this year.
Wow. I mean, I have him exactly his ADP. I'm no different. However, fantasy's all about value, and I wouldn't be drafting him there in preference to people who I know who will put up similar or better numbers a few rounds later, and they're just more a risky option. See, like, I'd rather have Hopkins later as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah. However, I feel that with... I feel like Funches coming in is... I mean, like everyone could double-team Benjamin last year. There wasn't really anyone else to throw to besides Greg Olsen.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that might pull, you know, one or two...
Yeah, we just don't know what Funches is yet, do we?
No, he's a big lad.
He is a big lad, and Kelvin Benjamin's reportedly, you know, got 8 or 9 extra pounds on him. Just pulled up a chair at a buffet and just went nuts over the off-season.
He didn't drop that.
No, that's right. Didn't drop the spoon there. So yeah, I'm not overly keen. I'm not, you know, I'm not praying he gets to me at 14. I'm hoping someone else can take him before he, you know, at wide receiver 14. So if, you know, I'm sitting at 34 and I'm pick 34, I'm hoping Kelvin Benjamin's been taken by someone that's a bit more keen on him, and I can see someone else drop. But there's this tier of wide receivers, like it's after sort of Mike Evans it drops off, and you've got Brandon Cooks, Kelvin Benjamin, Emmanuel Sanders, and Jordan Matthews.
Yeah,
these four players they're like a sort of a mini tier, and it's like they're going a little bit too high for me. And I get to this point in a draft, and I'm like, ugh, like who do I want out of these four players?
Do you
could throw Andre Johnson into that tier as well? I think.
Do you draft in a way though to avoid that, or
try and get in a different spot that that I'm not picking at that 35, you know, 34 pick turn, you know, when I'm it's funny. I've been in a few drafts or mock drafts where I've had to sort of say, do I want Kelvin Benjamin, Brandon Cooks, Emmanuel Sanders, Jordan Matthews, or Andre Johnson? And it's tough to work out. Out of those, do you see anyone that you prefer, Neil?
It is hard to say. I mean, there's much of a muchness all of them. I mean, an awful lot of people, for some reason, I'm reading, are still very high on Sammy Watkins. Sammy Watkins has got me thrown on the ball. And, you know, that's not a recipe for success in any form of the game. I mean, what I've been trying to do is, if you go wide receiver heavy at the top of your draft, and if you like your first round, you can get Dez Bryant. Second round, you can get Julio Jones. Especially if you're around the turn, then by the time you get to that 34, Kelvin Benjamin's almost a luxury pick. Because you've already got two stored, you've got two wide receiver ones, and then Kelvin Benjamin can come in and chip in. So if it might be a case you're probably looking for, you know, a running back there, or you start looking for tight end.
Mm.
But it depends. If you've gone running back heavy to start with, that's probably the best you're going to get. You're going to start hitting that tier,
yeah.
And you're probably going to have to start thinking, well, who's got the more, who's got the better touchdown value? And it's as you say, last year it would have been Benjamin, but this year, garbage time, another mouth to feed in that offense. It's that tier is. If I could avoid drafting any of them, I probably would.
Yeah, I think that's probably the safe
side. Yeah, last season I wasn't too excited at all about Panthers, but this year, kind of quietly looking forward to them.
From my initial stuff, I think they could comfortably win the division.
Yeah.
You know, I like the Falcons, what the Falcons did, and I think they'll improve, but I just, the defense, we don't know what Dan Quinn is like with this Falcons team yet. It's so hard to judge. They could come out of the box and be a great team, but when I look at the Panthers and the Saints roster, I'm a bit more confident in the Panthers' ability to win that division, so we'll see. But we'll save all that for future weeks when the season draws closer and we know a little bit more and find out what packages Dan Quinn's got, Vic Beasley lining up in and things like that. So
Vic Beasley, that's a name that's gone unheard for a while.
Yeah, it has been. It's been a while. Thanks for joining us, Neil. We really appreciate it. We love some of your lines. Today's one, I think, is the Kyle Rudolph, the red zone
reindeer.
Is another one.
If I can make people laugh, they may forget the crap advice.
Yeah, I find that's probably wise. That's probably wise.
I wish I was funny.
All right. Thanks for joining us, Neil, and we'll definitely talk to you soon.
Absolute pleasure, gents.
All right, that was Neil joining us for some, fantasy advice. His fantasy advice is good. Ours is beyond terrible.
Yeah.
So, don't listen to us.
No, listen to us. Keep tuning in.
Yeah, we've got the guys in our main league maybe listening to this, so, you know, you trust us or don't. Whatever.
Yeah, this could be
it's up to you. Just take our advice or leave it. It's totally up to you. We don't know what we're up to. Who knows?
But I'm 100% honest on the first, so.
Yes.
There I've you never go. Lied. Anyone else listening, that was 100% my honest rankings and opinions.
Never said a lie in my life.
No.
Yep. All right. Well, that's the show. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at WootNY. I'm at JYNFL.
Josh Woot.
We're on Redbubble, buy some shirts. We're on Instagram and at NFL Podcast, and we're on Facebook. Just search the Witten Wise Show, and we'll be back next week, hopefully with a special guest. We'll keep you in suspense.
Yeah.
Peace out.
Yeah.